It's incredibly easy to get caught up in an activity trap, in the busyness of life, to work harder and harder at climbing the ladder of success, only to discover it's leaning against the wrong wall.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your own power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That's true financial independence.
Expand your perspective by expanding your mind. Visualize in rich detail. Involve as many emotions and feelings as possible. Involve as many of the senses as you can.
Education, continually honing and expanding the mind, is vital mental renewal. Sometimes that involves the external discipline of the classroom or systemized study programs. More often, it does not. Proactive people can figure out many, many ways to educate themselves.
What happens when we attempt to shortcut a natural process in our growth and development? If you are only an average tennis player but decide to play at a higher level in order to make a better impression, what will result? Would positive thinking alone enable you to compete effectively against a professional?
As we sincerely seek to understand and integrate deep principles into our lives, I am convinced we will discover and rediscover the truth of T.S. Eliot's observation. We must not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we began and to know the place for the first time.
To make meaningful and consistent progress along the spiral of growth and improvement, we need to consider conscience, the endowment that senses our congruence or disparity with correct principles and lifts us toward them, when it's in shape. Just as the education of nerve and sinew is vital to the excellent athlete, and education of the mind is vital to the scholar, education of the conscience is vital to the truly proactive, highly effective person. Training and educating the conscience, however, requires even greater concentration, more balanced discipline, more consistently honest living. It requires regular feasting on inspiring literature, thinking noble thoughts, and above all, living in harmony with its still, small voice.
We are embryonic and can develop and release more and more potential, develop more and more talents. Highly related to this principle of potential is the principle of growth, the process of releasing potential and developing talents, with the accompanying need for principles such as patience, nurturance, and encouragement.
Goethe taught, "Treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can and should be, and he will become as he can and should be."
People who exercise their embryonic freedom day after day will, little by little, expand that freedom. People who do not will find that it withers until they are literally being lived. They are acting out the scripts written by parents, associates, and society.
The Seven Habits are not a set of separate or piecemeal psych-up formulas. In harmony with the natural laws of growth, they provide an incremental, sequential, highly integrated approach to the development of personal and interpersonal effectiveness. They move us progressively on a maturity continuum from dependence to independence to interdependence.
Life is, by nature, highly interdependent. To try to achieve maximum effectiveness through independence is like trying to play tennis with a golf club. The tool is not suited to the reality. Interdependence is a far more mature, more advanced concept. If I am physically interdependent, I am self-reliant and capable, but I also realize that you and I, working together, can accomplish far more than, even at my best, I could accomplish alone. If I am emotionally interdependent, I derive a great sense of worth within myself, but I also recognize the need for love, for giving, and for receiving love from others. If I am intellectually interdependent, I realize that I need the best thinking of other people to join with my own.
The inside-out approach to personal and interpersonal effectiveness means to start first with self. Even more fundamentally, to start with the most inside part of self, with your paradigms, your character, and your motives. The inside-out approach says that private victories precede public victories, that making and keeping promises to ourselves precedes making and keeping promises to others. It says it is futile to put personality ahead of character, to try to improve relationships with others before improving ourselves. Inside out is a process, a continuing process of renewal based on the natural laws that govern human growth and progress. It's an upward spiral of growth that leads to progressively higher forms of responsible independence and effective interdependence.
Dependence is the paradigm of you. You take care of me. You come through for me. You didn't come through. I blame you for the results. Independence is the paradigm of I. I can do it. I am responsible. I am self-reliant. I can choose. Interdependence is the paradigm of we. We can do it. We can cooperate. We can combine our talents and abilities and create something greater together. Dependent people need others to get what they want. Independent people can get what they want through their own effort. Interdependent people combine their own efforts with the efforts of others to achieve their greatest success.
Much of our current emphasis on independence is a reaction to dependence, to having others control us, define us, use us, and manipulate us. The little understood concept of interdependence appears to many to smack of dependence, and therefore we find people, often for selfish reasons, leaving their marriages, abandoning their children, and forsaking all kinds of social responsibility, all in the name of independence.
Interdependence is a choice only independent people can make. Unless we are willing to achieve real independence, it's foolish to try to develop human relations skills. We might even have some degree of success when the sun is shining. But when the difficult times come, and they will, we won't have the foundation to keep things together.
As a principle-centered person, you try to stand apart from the emotion of the situation and from other factors that would act on you and evaluate the options. Looking at the balanced whole, the work needs, the family needs, other needs that may be involved, and the possible implications of the various alternative decisions, you'll try to come up with the best solution, taking all factors into consideration.
Because you aren't omniscient, you can't always know in advance what is truly important. As carefully as you organize the week, there will be times when, as a principle-centered person, you will need to subordinate your schedule to a higher value. Because you are principle-centered, you can do that with an inner sense of peace.
Someone once inquired of a Far Eastern Zen master, who had a great serenity and peace about him no matter what pressures he faced, "How do you maintain that serenity and peace?" He replied, "I never leave my place of meditation." He meditated early in the morning, and for the rest of the day he carried the peace of those moments with him in his mind and heart.
When you are coming from a principle-centered paradigm, you are not being acted upon by other people or circumstances. You are proactively choosing what you determine to be the best alternative. You make your decision consciously and knowledgeably.
The law of the harvest governs, we will always reap what we sow, no more, no less. The law of justice is immutable, and the closer we align ourselves with correct principles, the better our judgment will be about how the world operates, and the more accurate our paradigms, our maps of the territory, will be.
The map is not the territory. A map is simply an explanation of certain aspects of the territory. While individuals may look at their own lives and interactions in terms of paradigms or maps emerging out of their experience and conditioning, these maps are not the territory. They are a subjective reality, only an attempt to describe the territory.
Paradigms are powerful because they create the lens through which we see the world. The power of a paradigm shift is the essential power of quantum change, whether that shift is an instantaneous or a slow and deliberate process.
In the words of Thoreau, for every 1,000 hacking at the leaves of evil, there is one striking at the root. We can only achieve quantum improvements in our lives as we quit hacking at the leaves of attitude and behavior and get to work on the root, the paradigms from which our attitudes and behaviors flow.
At some time in your life, you probably had someone believe in you when you didn't believe in yourself. They scripted you. Did that make a difference in your life? What if you were a positive scripter and affirmer of other people?
The inside-out approach says if you want to have a happy marriage, be the kind of person who generates positive energy and sidesteps negative energy rather than empowering it. If you want to have a more pleasant, cooperative teenager, be a more understanding, empathic, consistent, loving parent. If you want to have more freedom, more latitude in your job, be a more responsible, a more helpful, a more contributing employee. If you want to be trusted, be trustworthy. If you want the secondary greatness of recognized talent, focus first on the primary greatness of character.
The character ethic, which I believe to be the foundation of success, teaches that there are basic principles of effective living, and that people can only experience true success and enduring happiness as they learn and integrate these principles into their basic character.
The personality ethic tells me there must be something out there, some new planner or seminar that will help me handle pressures in a more efficient way. But is there a chance that efficiency is not the answer? Is getting more things done in less time going to make a difference? Or will it just increase the pace at which I react to the people and circumstances that seem to control my life? Could there be something I need to see in a deeper, more fundamental way? Some paradigm within myself that affects the way I see my time, my life, and my own nature?
If you cultivate the habit of always keeping the promises you make, you build bridges of trust that span the gaps of understanding between you and others.
If I make deposits into an emotional bank account with you through courtesy, kindness, honesty, and keeping my commitments to you, I build up a reserve. Your trust toward me becomes higher, and I can call upon that trust many times if I need to. I can even make mistakes, and that trust level, that emotional reserve, will compensate for it. My communication may not be clear, but you'll get my meaning anyway. You won't make me an offender for a word. When the trust account is high, communication is easy, instant, and effective.
Integrity includes but goes beyond honesty. Honesty is telling the truth. In other words, conforming our words to reality. Integrity is conforming reality to our words. In other words, keeping promises and fulfilling expectations. This requires an integrated character, a oneness, primarily with self, but also with life.
Principles are guidelines for human conduct that are proven to have enduring, permanent value. They're fundamental. They're essentially unarguable because they are self-evident. One way to quickly grasp the self-evident nature of principles is to simply consider the absurdity of attempting to live an effective life based on their opposites. I doubt that anyone would seriously consider unfairness, deceit, baseness, uselessness, mediocrity, or degeneration to be a solid foundation for lasting happiness and success.
While practices are situationally specific, principles are deep, fundamental truths that have universal application. They apply to individuals, to marriages, to families, to private and public organizations of every kind. When these truths are internalized into habits, they empower people to create a wise variety of practices to deal with different situations.
Popular success literature tries to convince you that self-esteem is primarily a matter of mindset, of attitude, that you can psych yourself into peace of mind. Peace of mind comes when your life is in harmony with true principles and values, and in no other way.
One of the most important ways to manifest integrity is to be loyal to those who are not present. In doing so, we build the trust of those who are present. When you defend those who are absent, you retain the trust of those present.
In the short run, in an artificial social system such as school, you may be able to get by if you learn how to manipulate the man-made rules, to play the game. In most one-shot or short-lived human interactions, you can use the personality ethic to get by and to make favorable impressions through charm and skill, and pretending to be interested in other people's hobbies. But eventually, if there isn't deep integrity and fundamental character strength, the challenges of life will cause true motives to surface, and human relationship failure will replace short-term success.
When we make deposits of unconditional love, when we live the primary laws of love, we encourage others to live the primary laws of life. In other words, when we truly love others without condition, without strings, we help them feel secure and safe and validated and affirmed in their essential worth, identity, and integrity. Their natural growth process is encouraged. We make it easier for them to live the laws of life: cooperation, contribution, self-discipline, integrity, and to discover and live true to the highest and best within them.
We are limited, but we can push back the borders of our limitations. An understanding of the principle of our own growth enables us to search out correct principles with the confidence that the more we learn, the more clearly we can focus the lens through which we see the world. The principles don't change. Our understanding of them does.
The seven habits are habits of effectiveness. Because they are based on principles, they bring the maximum long-term beneficial results possible. They become the basis of a person's character, creating an empowering center of correct maps from which an individual can effectively solve problems, maximize opportunities, and continually learn and integrate other principles in an upward spiral of growth.
Principles are like lighthouses. They are natural laws that cannot be broken. As Cecil B. DeMille observed of the principles contained in his monumental movie, The Ten Commandments, "It is impossible for us to break the law. We can only break ourselves against the law."
Our behavior is governed by principles. Living in harmony with them brings positive consequences. Violating them brings negative consequences. We are free to choose our response in any situation, but in doing so, we choose the attendant consequence. When we pick up one end of the stick, we pick up the other.
Intrinsic security doesn't come from what other people think of us or how they treat us. It doesn't come from our circumstances or our position. It comes from within. It comes from accurate paradigms and correct principles deep in our own mind and heart. It comes from inside-out congruence, from living a life of integrity in which our daily habits reflect our deepest values.
In the last analysis, what we are communicates far more eloquently than anything we say or do.
As human beings, we cannot perfect ourselves. To the degree to which we align ourselves with correct principles, divine endowments will be released within our nature in enabling us to fulfill the measure of our creation. In the words of Teilhard de Chardin, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience."
Reflections for Highly Effective People was written by Dr. Stephen R. Covey. It was abridged for audio by Jan Werner. The narrators were Dina Corsetti and David Brand. Introduction by Dr. Stephen R. Covey. The recording engineer was Andy Godsberg, with post-production by Denny McNerney. The introduction was recorded and edited by Paul Fowley of Common Mode and directed by Susan Totland. The associate producer was Florence Barreau. Reflections for Highly Effective People was directed and produced by Linda Woolman. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.